Romans chapter 12. Let's look there, but we have a lot of others we want to look at before we finish tonight. Romans chapter 12, let's go there. That's kind of the central theme of our study right now. The study is called, What is Your Ministry? And we're on kind of the second phase of it, taking a closer look at what we call the function gifts. As God uses us, He prepares us, and He enables us. And as we are submissive to the Spirit of God, the Bible says there are spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit that He provides to help the church accomplish God's will. Here in chapter 12, there's many things that are mentioned, but the ones we want to look at, verse number 3 down to verse number 6. Let me read that for us, verses 3 through 6, and then we'll continue on. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So we're taking a closer look, as the Bible says there in verse number 4, all members have not the same office, function, something that's needed in the church. But God does enable all of us to do something for Him through the Spirit of God. And we looked last time, might remember, it's been a while now, how to know what my spiritual gift is what we're on. We looked at that it's given by God's grace. It's not a natural gift of my physical birth. It's active as I surrender to God. And then we saw that God leads me to specific gift or gifts for ministry as I grow in faith in Him. That helps who? Does that help you? Does that help us personally? No, the goal is to help the church, the body of believers in Christ, because we are all members of one body. That's what the Bible talks about here. So we want to continue on tonight and look at how good works and the gifts of the Spirit, God uses those. So all these things that are listed here, and we'll look at it in just a minute, every believer is supposed to do. But yet God says there are specific gifts that He has planned for each believer. How does that work out in Scripture? Well, tonight we just want to look at the first part of it. If God commands it, we should be doing it as well. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask God to help us before we go any further. Lord, we thank You that You have things for us to do, that Your purpose here for us, Lord, can be accomplished, Lord. But help us, Lord. That means we must be submissive to You. We must surrender to You and the leadership of Your Holy Spirit, that we would do things for the glory of Christ. And Lord, according to Your plan, we ask Your help now as we discover some more things, Lord, that we can do to honor and glorify You. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Good works and gifts of the Spirit. Got a lot of Scripture here if I could have some help. Matthew 5, verse 16. Who would take Matthew 5, 16? All right, Doug's got that. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. All right. What's your name? Leland. All right. And how about Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, verse 8 and 9. Acts 21, verse 8 and 9. Sister Carolyn's going to read that. Thank you. How about Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to 35? And Vicki, I saw your hand there. Thank you. John 13, verses 13 to 15. All right, Faith's going to do that. Great. Thank you. How about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25? Hebrews 10, 25. Daryl, thank you. I'm hoping we'll get through all this tonight. Matthew 6, verse 3 and 4. Matthew 6, verse 3 and 4. All right, Trenton. I think I can remember that too. Matthew 6:38. I think we'll stop right there. Matthew 6:38. I'm sorry, Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38. Andrea's got that. Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and hear from some of these here. We'll start with Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Good works and gifts of the Spirit. God molds all believers, here's the blanks, to accomplish two words, good works. God molds all believers to accomplish good works. And here's what Scripture tells us, Matthew 5, 16.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
All right, very good. Ephesians 2, verse 10, nice and loud. Leland.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Okay, thank you very much. Before we read Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to turn there with me. According to Ephesians 2:10, the good works are supposed to be patterned after who? We're created in workmanship, the good works unto Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. They should be a patterned and follow his example and point to him. That's the goal. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Take a look at verse 23 and 24. And let's do read that together, please. Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. Let's read it out loud together, please. Let's begin. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So they're good works, the Bible says, coupled with love, caring about what we're doing for and the people we're doing them with and for. God molds all believers to accomplish good works. If we're not doing good works, we're missing out on something God has planned for us. God's using others, and he's using others maybe to do something that he'd like to see you do, like to see me do. And I got to be open to those things that the Lord would have. What are good works? Well, works that glorify Christ, works that bring glory to God, that we can do in a physical sense as well as spiritual, that would bring glory to him. Every believer is commanded to perform, here's the blank, functional gifts. So these good works include the gifts of the Spirit, of course. And how does God want us to consider that? Well, certainly we have a list in Romans chapter 12 that he says there's specific gifts I'm going to give to specific people to be used of the Lord. But he also says in other parts of Scripture, everybody's supposed to be doing these things. How do we rectify that? How does that work out? Well, let's see, first of all, how God wants to use us all to do that. 1 Corinthians 14, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 14, we'll start with that. Of course, the first on the list here in Romans chapter 12, in verse number 6, is prophecy. It says, give us grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. 1 Corinthians 14, let's take a look, verse 1 through 3, here's what it says. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Another passage of Scripture talks about prophesying or the use of it in a group of people. In Acts chapter 21, Sister Carolyn has that, verse 8, verse 9.
And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy.
Okay, thank you very much. Here's the blanks here. As you look underneath there under Acts 21, there's the word prophesy. Means to forth tell. Fourth, tell. Were there times there was foretelling of the future? Yes, prophets did that in the Old Testament, and a couple even in the New, in the book of Acts. But the basic truth of the word in the New Testament, for the Christian, for the believer, is to foretell the truth of God, the things that messages that he would have us to share. Now, certainly the daughters of Philip were not pastors, were they? They were not up there preaching in front of congregations and so forth, but is preaching part of prophesying? Is it foretelling the truth? Absolutely. Can someone who's not a preacher foretell the truth? Yes, you can. How can you do that? Well, you share in the conversation. This is who Jesus is. This is what God's word tells us. You can do it in various venues and so forth, but certainly telling the truth of God's word, and here in 1 Corinthians, with the goal of, according to verse 3, the goal of edification and exhortation and comfort. Isn't that interesting? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Wow. God's word is both, as all three of those and much more. But he says prophesy. That's something all of us have a command, a responsibility to do. And yet, he says there are some who are given a special ministry of prophesy. We're going to look at that later on, not tonight. Not tonight, but here's how God tells us all of us have some prophesying, forthtelling to do. The next one on the list in Romans chapter 12 is ministry. Ministry. It says in verse number 8, verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Ministry. Mark 9, verse 33 to 35, this is Jesus sharing us with us about ministry.
And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves, who should be the greatest? And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all.
Okay, thank you very much. Then we have John 13, where Jesus literally shows this, what he's talking about, verses 13 through 15.
Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.
Okay, thank you very much. How many have ever worn sandals or flip-flops? I don't wear flip-flops. They hurt. But this is kind of that's the shoe, that you know, that's the footwear that people had back in the day, what we would call sandals, and they came in various forms and so forth, but bottom line, that's what it was they wore, and just dirt would just cake on their feet and so forth, and obviously they had to clean that off. Well, after long days of travel, here was Jesus on his knees, the leader of the world, of the universe, and cleaning the nasty, muddy feet of his disciples. And remember what Peter said? He said, Lord, not just my feet, but all of me, yeah, my whole body. Why don't you do that? Well, his point was this: you need to be a servant. You need to minister to one another. That is my desire for you together. Ministry is a gift that God gives through the Holy Spirit, but it is something that all of us need to be doing. Ministry. So serve means, it means to meet needs, to meet the need. Then teaching, Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go there, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And verse number 12. Hebrews 5, verse number 12. By the way, as we look back, as we think about the ministry part, the serving, how many of the disciples' feet did Jesus wash that night? Anybody know? What does the scripture tell us? All. Who was the one that was there that you would think, man, he should have kicked him out of the room? He washed his feet too. And he loved them that very night. Teaching. Let's take a look. Hebrews chapter 5. Take a look at verse number 12. Here's what it says. Verse 12 through 14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you, again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Teaching here, teaching. Teachers, the Bible here speaking about those who are should be teaching, but those who aren't. But the idea is everyone is going to have an opportunity if they're growing the way they're supposed to, if they're growing the way they should. And the key word there is in verse number 14, to discern both good and evil. Discerning believers, that is the blank. Teachers, discerning believers. You get discernment by growing and maturing in the Word of God. As it says here, growing skillful with the truths of God's Word. Hey, we're thankful to have land and home. What a blessing. But he doesn't know his left from his right. He doesn't know, you know, why he cries. He doesn't know any of those things. But as time goes on, he's going to learn, like all of us did, you know, why this hurts down here. Oh yeah, it's empty. Let's go get something to fill it up. Or why am I crying when something's pinching this here? Well, because it hurts. You know, those things, discernment begins to grow. And that's what God wants every Christian to do, is to grow in discernment so that they can help teach. What are they supposed to teach? There's other parts of Scripture that tell us why. Anybody want to take a stab at it? Why does God want us to teach others? So that they can teach others. So that they can teach others and teach. And that's the idea, is that the perpetual growth of teaching continues on and helps every believer we come across. Teaching. Then the gift of exhortation. We're in Hebrews, go to chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. That's what we want to look at. We looked at verse 23 and 4. Let's take a look at verse 25. And let's read this one together, shall we? I'm sorry, Daryl's going to read that. Okay, go ahead, brother, if you would. Okay, exhorting one another. That is part of when we gather together, that God use the exhortation of God's word, his truth, amongst believers. Exhortation is this, to verbally urge to do right. Verbally urging to do right. It's verbal. As we tell it, it's, man, aren't they getting it? Can't they read my mind? No, we can't. No, so that's why it needs to be shared. And shared in a way that God would use it in an open and understanding way. By the way, if someone is exhorting you, what does God want you to do? What does he want me to do when somebody's exhorting? If he wants us to be taught, then we need to be teachable. We need to be humble and willing to say, God can use this person in my life. Sometimes it's God can use to teach me something that I don't want to do or shouldn't be doing. I always say in our first ministry as an assistant pastor, we were part of a church that was, some of you have no idea what this is all about, but part of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. How many have ever heard of that? Or GARBC. It's actually headquartered in Grand Rapids. That's where it's been for decades, probably about 100 years. I think 1930s is when it began. And as it began, truth is, when it began, the goal was to separate from more liberal teaching of things that were going on in the churches that some of these guys found. And they said, no, we want to stay true to the Word of God, back in the late 20s and 30s. That's how it started. Well, it eventually got in that way too. And sometimes it's not called GRBC, it's called Garbage Church. Well, I don't want to go that far because I think there's still people who love the Lord involved. But that first church, and we love the people and we grew a lot, but as we look back, You know, hindsight is 20/20, right? Isn't that what they say? You can look back and say, you know, that's something that I learned I don't want to see in ministry. That's not the right way to do it. God showed me how to help others do it right. And so sometimes it's that way. But exhortation is a verbal urge to do, verbally urging someone to do what is right. God says that's what we need to do in our church. But it's also a gift of the Spirit. Then the next one, if we go back to Romans 12, what's the next one on the list after exhortation? I'll let you guys answer that one. What's the one after exhortation? Giving. He that giveth, let him give with simplicity. Giving, that's the blank there. Did you know that all of us are supposed to be doing that, not just the ones who have the gift of giving? Matthew 6, verse 3 and 4, Trenton's going to read that for us.
But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly.
Okay, thank you. Then Luke 6, verse 38. Okay, again, Jesus speaking there in Luke as well as Matthew. Here's the point as we share about the giving, as we see there. He spoke about giving as if it was normal. That this is something that you do. This is what Christian behavior is. And then he explains, as you give, here's what you can see. And how you give, whether it's for God's glory or your own, there in Matthew 6, he talks about keeping it secret from one hand to the other. The idea is that it's not for show, it's for the good of God's plans and so forth. That we are to give, it's a regular Christian activity. It's something we all should do. And you say, well, I just don't have enough to do that. Well, God says, you need to trust me then. You need to trust me because I can help you. Does God give us an amount we have to give in the New Testament? In the New Testament. No, he does not. He does say, as God lays on the heart. as men, I think the Bible actually says, as we determine what we determine to give. My wife is trying to tell me something. You gotta speak up. As God prospereth, and so forth. The point is this, the amount is between you and God. But the option is not there. The option not to give is not found in Scripture. Giving, it's part of Christian activity. And yet, he says this is a gift of the Spirit as well. Let's go back, Romans 12. What's the next gift mentioned there? Gift of the Spirit after giving. Ruling. Let's look at these together. Proverbs 19. Let's go there. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Proverbs 19, verse 20. If somebody has that, go ahead and read that for us. Proverbs 19, verse 20.
Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end.
Okay, thank you. Hear counsel and receive instruction. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's do read these verses, verses 1 through 4, please. 1 through 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read it together, please. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Who's to rule in these verse, in these verses? According to verse 1 and verse 4. The father, but verse 1 tells us, mom too, obey your parents, the Bible says. So the idea here, again saying, there is a need for instruction in every place we are. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here's the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." The basic idea of ruling is instruction, or to direct. That as God's light showing us what to do, that God uses these folks gifted of the Spirit to direct us in the right way, the proper way. That would honor the Lord, would agree with His word, of course, and continue to follow His will. Last one, showing mercy. Matthew 5:7. Let's go there. Matthew 5:7. Again, these are all things as we look through Scripture that all of us are supposed to do. Matthew 5:7. Somebody's got that? Go ahead and read that. Nice and loud for us.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Okay, thank you. One of the Beatitudes. Then Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 36. Luke 6, 36.
Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
All right, thank you. I didn't ask for that, but that's okay. Thank you. Be ye merciful. Jesus is giving a command, be ye merciful as your Father also is merciful. Now, let's all go to chapter 10 of Luke. Let's all go to chapter 10. And we'll read verse 36 and 37 together, please. Luke chapter 10, talking about showing mercy. Verse 36 and 37. Let's do read those together. Luke chapter 10, here we go. "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." Who is Jesus speaking of? What's the parable there he's talking about? The Good Samaritan. And he says the Samaritan is the one. And even the things about most of the parables that Jesus shares, the answer is obvious. But he doesn't make you feel dumb. He's just, aha, thank you, Lord, for that wonderful truth. And the truth he shares here is, it's the mercy that sticks out that was different from the rest. And then he says, in verse 37, go and do thou likewise. Showing mercy. Mercy is undeserved favor. That's the blank. Undeserved favor. How many here deserve forgiveness from God? We don't deserve forgiveness from God. If we don't deserve forgiveness from God, do we deserve forgiveness from anybody else? Well, if you get right down to it, no. No, we still should pay the price. But because God is merciful, He does forgive us. And because He says, I want you to pattern yourself after my Son, He says, you forgive others. And you seek it out when it's needed, etc. And many other truths there about mercy. So these are things we should all do. Let's go out and do them. Amen.